أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وكان الله بكل شيء عليما. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا وكان بالمؤمنين رحيما. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, praise be to Allah and blessings be upon our Prophet Muhammad. And his pure progeny and companions. O God, expedite the return of the hidden Imam and assist him and make us among the witnesses and his companions, witnesses of his reappearance and his companions. The most beautiful moment in the world, in the universe, is the birth anniversary and moment of the birth of the Seal of Prophets, the Grand Prophet, and also that of Imam Sadiq, the one who revived the genuine Muhammadan Sharia. I congratulate this occasion to their son, the great reformer Imam Mahdi, and also the honorable leader, the respected audience, the distinguished guests, and the honorable ambassadors in this meeting, the Iranian nation and the mankind. Our Prophet is the mercy for the entire mankind and all existential stages and beings are under his mercy and kindness. In fact, all the beings are indebted to that infinite mercy لولاك لما خلقت الأفلاك. If you weren't there, I wouldn't create the world. This is what God says, addressing a prophet Muhammad. He is the manifestation of divine mercy, and therefore his mercy is also infinite and spreads throughout the world. The Honorable Prophet is the first teacher and was the first one, and also he received his teachings from God. Hence, he was the treasure of the divine teachings and the city of divine teachings. The infallible Imams, among them the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali bin Abi Talib, peace be upon him, is the guardian of the city of knowledge of Prophet Muhammad. Access to the city of knowledge is possible only through them. The commander of the faithful is the owner of the first and last knowledge, because he was raised by Prophet Muhammad and was the treasurer of his knowledge. The Grand Prophet followed the straight path. إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. In fact, he was the one who brought the straight path. In the world, sometimes, in order to reach the truth, there is only one way, that is the straight path, and following the Prophet and following the household of God and obeying them. Of course, our Honorable Prophet was trying to guide the people and was in fact a physician who was after the people to cure them and was after the people to guide them. His great agony was the misguidance of the misguided, and his main concern was guiding them. And God addressing him said, "You are going to disturb yourself or to just get killed because the people do not embrace faith, and you are so sad about it." And this is one of the characteristics of the believers, who always think about the people and concern about the people, and they spare no effort in order to rescue the people from darkness and bewilderment. The difficulties of human beings were great, or a burden on the shoulder of Prophet Muhammad. حَرِيسٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَأُوفُ الرَّحِيمِ. And the infallible Imams, peace be upon them, had the same mode of conduct. Imam Sadiq, during his imamate, in fact, removed the dusts and veils and wrong approaches to Islam, and in fact revealed the truth of Islam. We thank the Almighty God that today the bells of awakening are tolling across the world. The hearts are drawn towards the divine invitation and call. People are awakening. The spirit of justice, benevolence, support of the oppressed, and resistance against the oppressors are consolidating. Without any doubt, the light of monotheism and God-worshipping and also voracious deed will fill the world, and the agonies and the labors of the prophets and the sages and the righteous and the believers will bear fruit. And the son of our prophet, who is the inheritor of all good and inheritor of all prophets and sages, along with Jesus Christ, will hoist the flag of mercy across the world. Oppression will come to an end, and the oppressors and the selfish who claim to be the leaders of the world, while they lack any quality or qualification for leadership, will dive to the ground, will be humiliated. Faith, resistance, gracious death, unity of world, and solidarity with the path of Wilaya and Imama are the secrets of victory in this direction. Once again, I would like to felicitate this great feast to all, and would invite you to listen to the speech of the dear leader. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, I would like to congratulate you on the occasion of this auspicious feast. I would like to congratulate the honorable audience, the officials of the country, the luminaries in the hierarchy of management of Iran, the respected guests of the Week of Unity, the ambassadors of the Islamic countries, and I would like to congratulate the Iranian nation and the Muslims of the world, and also the all free-spirited people of the world, the human society indeed. Today, which according to well-known tradition or narration of the transmitters, of the Shia transmitters, is the day of the birth anniversary of the Seal of Prophets, and also the same day is the birth anniversary of Imam Jafar Sadiq, peace be upon him, in the 83 Hijra year, is a great day for the world of Islam. The birth anniversary of the Grand Prophet. Is not merely a historical event. It is a determining event in the path, in the trend of man's movement throughout the history. The phenomena that unfolded or occurred at the time of this great birth, according to history, indeed are expressive allusions to the truth and meaning of this birth. It has been narrated that at the time of the birth of the Honorable Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him, the signs of infidelity and polytheism across the world faced some problems. The fire temple of Fars, which hadn't been extinguished for 1,000 years, went off at the time of the birth of Prophet Muhammad. The idols that had been installed in the temples fell, and the monks and the servants of the temples of idols were astonished. What's going on? This was a symbolic blow of this birth on infidelity and polytheism and materialism. On the other hand, the palace of the oppressors of the Iranian polytheist empire faced some incidents. The arches of the Madain palace fell, 14 arches fell or just collapsed. It was another symbolic sign that the birth was a prelude and a ground, a prelude to and a ground for fight against a rebellion in the world, fight and struggle against the idols, the spirituality and guidance of human being on the one hand, and social guidance of every individual in the society, on the other hand, oppression against rebellion, oppression against struggle against oppression, struggle against illegitimate domination of the oppressors over the people. These are the signs of the symbolic signs of a prophet, prophet's birth. Imam Ali expressing or explaining the time when Prophet Muhammad was raised in Nahj al-Balagha has a number of statements, including saying, وَالدُّنْيَا كَوْسِفَةُ النُّورُ غَوْهِرَةُ الْغُرُورِ. Light, there was no light in the life of the people. People used to live in darkness, the darkness of ignorance, rebellion, misguidance. Of course, the symbol of all these darknesses was the spot where Prophet was born and then was raised, that is the Arabian Peninsula. All darkness, ignorance, misguidance had an example in Mecca and the Arab life in Peninsula, intellectual, creedal misguidance. The infidelity that really belittled human beings and their harsh social behavior, their cruelty. إذا بشر أحدهم, when one of them was given the news that a daughter was born to them, then their face turned black. It was one example of the behavior of human beings during the time of the birth of Prophet Muhammad, and then during the time when he was raised as Prophet unto mankind. فَكَانَ هُدًا مِنَ الظَّلَالِ وَنُورًا وَبَسَرًا مِنَ الْعِمَى. The mankind was in fact blind, but got its eyesight. The world was dark, but became illuminated with the light of the Prophet. This was the meaning, or this is the meaning of this great birth, and then the appointment of Prophet Muhammad unto mankind. Not only we the Muslims are indebted to divine mercy for this sacred being, but all mankind are indebted to him. And to this mercy, it is true that the guidance of Prophet Muhammad hasn't overcome the entire mankind, but this illuminating light and this ever-increasing flame is among human beings, and gradually, with the passage of time, through centuries, has guided human beings towards the source of light. And after the appointment of Prophet Muhammad and after his birth, we see this trend. Humanity or mankind has moved towards the values, has recognized and realized the values. Gradually it will spread, and its intensity will increase until the day when God willing, it will spread across the world, and mankind will be moving in the straight path and will start its true move, which will be the beginning of the true or clean life of human beings, when God will complete his proof to mankind and mankind will traverse in this highway. Today, as the Islamic Ummah, we have this great mercy at our disposal. We must utilize it. Our religion, our heart, our thing, our thought, and our world, our life, our environment must be formed on the basis of the teachings of this religion, and we should illuminate all this. It is light, it is insight. We can in fact get close to this light and utilize it. This is the general duty and public duty of the Muslims. What today I would like to emphasize on, which is one of the great and first class or first rate duties of the Muslims, is unity and unanimity. This week, which will end to Rabi'ul Awwal 17th, has been designated from the early days of the revolution as the Unity Week. The reason is that the Rabi'ul Awwal 12th, according to Shias, according to Sunni brothers, is the day of birth anniversary, and 17th Rabi'ul Awwal also is the birth anniversary according to Shia narration. So we have called this week, the week between 12th to 17th, as the Unity Week. The officials and the Iranian nations agreed, and this is a secret and a symbol of the unity among the Muslims. However, a word is not enough. Designation is not enough. We need action. We need practice. We should move towards unity. Today, the world of Islam needs unity. There are factors for disunity. We have to overcome them. We must overcome those factors. All the great objectives need a struggle. No great objective can be achieved without a struggle. Unity among the Muslims is not possible without a struggle. It is our duty to struggle for unity in the Islamic world. This unity can solve many problems. This unity can indeed endear the Muslim societies and the Muslims. Just look at the Islamic countries. Just look at the Muslims who today constitute 1/4 of the world population. What is their condition? What is their role in international politics? even among themselves, how it is they are weaker than the alien powers, the powers with ill intention, only because they are alien. It's not only because these powers are alien that we try to avoid them, because they have ill intention, because they have domineering incentives. They want to belittle the Islamic nations. They want to crush the Islamic nations. They want to force the Islamic nations to surrender to them completely. Well, we have more than 50 Muslim countries. These Muslim nations, in order to face such ill intention, which is clear and at the same time it's a bullying move, what should they do? Is there any other solution than unity? We should get close to each other. There are two factors, main factors, which are in the way of, standing in the way of unity. One, that's the domestic affairs or domestic factors, our fanaticism and our attachment to our creeds. In fact, being attached to one's creeds and faiths is very good, and it's an insistence on it is very good as well, but at the same time it must not go beyond rejecting and aggressive and invading and being hostile to others. The brothers who are within the Islamic Ummah must respect each other, and they must, if they want to preserve their own faith and creed, they should do so, but respecting others, respecting the rights of the others, the limits of the others, and respecting the ideas and opinions of others should be there also. Discussion and polemics should be within the scientific sessions. The ulama, the scholars, can have religious discussions among themselves. But religious scholarly discussions within the scientific sessions is different from, or are different from, just insulting each other in open, in the public. And in addressing the people who do not have the power of scientific analysis, the scholars and the officials should contain this. All the Muslim groups, the Shias are deity bound, the Sunnis are deity bound, to move towards unity. This is a domestic factor. There is a foreign factor as well, that is the foreign hand of the enemies of Islam that want to create division among the Muslims. We should not neglect that, not only today, but from the very day when the political powers felt that they can influence the nations. They tried to create division among the Muslims, and today this is stronger than ever. The media, the means of media, and also the modern media and communication means help them. They fanned the flames of disunity. They created slogans in order to create disunity. We should be very wakeful. One should be very conscious. There are some people, unfortunately, within the Muslim nations and Islamic countries that are becoming an instrument for implementation of the policies of the main enemies. You know, we should take lessons. Just see, 2 years ago, when the youth in Lebanon and Hezbollah overcame Israel and defeated the Zionist regime in a humiliating manner, and in the Islamic world, for the Muslims, it was a great victory. Immediately, the dividing hands put forth the idea of Sunni and Shia. They fanned the flames of religious bigotisms, of fanaticism in Lebanon, in the Middle East, and in the entire Islamic world, as if the Sunni-Shia issue has been created just recently. The aim was to create division among the Islamic Ummah, which had gotten close to each other in the light of that victory. It belongs to 2 years ago. 2 months ago, the Islamic Ummah achieved another victory, that is the victory of Palestinian resistance in Gaza over the Zionist regime. It was a great, bright victory. Which victory was greater than this, than that an equipped army that at a time had defeated three armies of three countries in 1967 and 1973 for 22 days could not defeat the resistant youth, the warriors, faithful warriors in Gaza, could not defeat them and could not make them withdraw. And empty-handed, it had to go back to withdraw. And in the world, the Zionist regime and its supporters were defamed, just like United States. Really, they were defamed. So it was a great victory for the Muslims. And it created a sympathy and closeness among the Muslims. Here they couldn't put forth the idea of Sunni and Shia, Sunnism and Shiism. Now they are putting forth the idea of ethnicism or nationalism, Arabism and non-Arabism. Now the issue is whether the Palestinian problem belongs to the Arabs. And they insist that, yes, it is an Arab problem and non-Arabs do not have any right to interfere in this issue. Why? The issue of Palestine in is an Islamic issue. There are no differences between the Arabs and Ajams and non-Arabs here. In the Islamic world, in the problems of the Islamic worlds, if nationalism comes to the fore, it will be the greatest factor for disunity. Nationalism, when nationalism is just comes to the fore, then there is division between the Turks, Arabs, Fars, Kurds, Indonesians, Malaysians, Pakistanis, Indians. Then what will remain there? This is just auctioning the Islamic Ummah and the capabilities and the forces of the Islamic Ummah. These are the tricks of the arrogant powers. Unfortunately, in the world of Islam, there are some people who are deceived by these tricks, and they do not want the sweetness of the victory in Lebanon and in Gaza to be tasted by the Muslims. Immediately they put forth a factor for division and disunity in order to create discord among the Islamic Ummah. The Muslim Ummah should be wakeful, should stand against them. The first duty is on the shoulder of the politicians. the first duty is on the shoulder of the politicians. The officials and leaders of the Islamic countries should be wakeful. This cry may be heard from some of the insiders, but we do not commit any mistake. We do not mistake in recognizing the enemy. This is not the cry. This is the cry of others. It belongs to the arrogant powers. These are the colonial powers and arrogant powers that are against the Islamic unity. If it is heard from the mouth of some of the Islamic ummah, then they are deceived. This is not their cry. This is not their word. We know this voice. This is the voice of others. In the first place, the officials and leaders. And in the second place, it is the duty of the thinkers, those who deal with the hearts and thoughts of the people, the religious scholars, the intellectuals, intelligentsia, newspapers, reporters, poets, men of literature, scientists, shoulder this great responsibility. They have to introduce the hands, the fingertips that want to create problem for disunity, and they want to weaken this strong cord. They want to take away disunity from the Muslims. The Holy Quran says, "Va'tasimu bihablillah jami'an," hold fast to the rope of Allah collectively. You have to hold fast to the rope of Allah together. Holding fast to the rope of Allah can be done individually, but the Quran says, "Va'tasimu bihablillah jami'an," together, "wala tafarragu," and do not get disunited. Even when you want to hold fast to the rope of Allah, do not be disunited. Do it collectively. And if some people want to, you know, some others are trying to hold fast to the rope of Satan instead of holding fast to the rope of Allah. See, when we want to hold fast to the rope of Allah, we have to do it collectively. We have to do it together. This is one of the great problems of the Islamic world. I beseech Allah, the Almighty, to help and to grant all the Muslim individuals, citizens, governments, the success to discharge this great duty on the basis of its significance, and also to realize it first and practice it in order to win the pleasure of God. And we beseech God to bless our Imam, who raised the voice of unity in our time and called on the Muslims to unity. I hope that God the Almighty would close in our hearts to each other and would illuminate our hearts with divine call and acquaint us with the divine call. And I hope that the future of the Islamic Ummah would be better than its past. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.